Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast. So Clive Ramsey, I head up the construction sector here at CDH. For my sins, I've been doing this for over 30 years.
Thanks, Clive. Afternoon, everyone. My name is Sethu Khumalo. I'm an associate in the disputes department at Cliff Decker, working with Clive Ramsey, specializing in construction and engineering. Before we get into this episode, it might be worthwhile just to give an overview on the mini-series that we'll be running over the next couple of weeks. Essentially, what we'll be looking at is dealing with the different forms of dispute resolution which are prevalent within the construction and engineering space. We see ourselves splitting this over three episodes, this episode being the first, dealing with adjudication, the second episode dealing with mediation, and the last one dealing with arbitration. So yeah, Clive, if you're ready, maybe we can kick it off with you giving us an introduction into what adjudication actually is.
Yeah, thanks, Sethu. Adjudication you'll find in most standard forms contracts that you as our listeners would use in the construction industry. And that involves the appointment of a third-party adjudicator to preside over a matter where people put their submissions to the adjudicator and the adjudicator makes a decision. Difference to mediation, which we'll deal with in a future podcast, where there's no decision made by the mediator, on arbitration, where witnesses would give evidence.
Right, that's perfect, Clive. You mentioned the other form of dispute resolution being mediation and arbitration. Could you possibly highlight for us what's the real significant differential between your adjudication processes versus mediation and arbitration?
Yeah, thanks, Sethu. The main difference is between mediation is a mediator, even though appointed by the parties, doesn't make a decision. The function of the mediator is to try and facilitate a resolution of the dispute between the parties. Whereas an adjudicator, both parties would appoint the adjudicator. The parties would then put their submissions to the adjudicator, usually in writing. There may or may not be a hearing, but no witnesses would give evidence. And the adjudicator then makes a final and binding decision upon the dispute that has been put to him or her. Then opposed to arbitration, where you would have, like a trial in a high court, you would have witnesses actually giving evidence, as opposed to it being decided on the papers before the adjudicator.
As you mentioned now, adjudication processes seem to be decided mainly on the papers. Are there any advantages to that as opposed to running your trial-like arbitration processes?
The main advantage is it's speedy. It's supposed to resolve matters quickly. The time periods can be set for a statement of claim to be put in, a statement of defense, setting out both parties' positions. There may be a reply to that, and then that's what the adjudicator will decide upon. Sometimes adjudicators will ask for a short hearing, but a day or so, but there's no factual witnesses giving evidence. So you should have a speedy resolution. And what the courts have found when these matters have been looked at on enforcement is that the courts have accepted this as a robust process where it's quick, and some people call it quick and nasty, but that's the function of it, with always the backup that if it doesn't go one party's way, they can always serve a notice of dissatisfaction and the matter can then proceed to arbitration.
Sure. Clive, if I could just build on two things that you mentioned there. You say the main advantage of an adjudication is that it's meant to be speedy. We know, you and I, of course, know that in theory that's how it should work. But in your personal experience, have you found that adjudications do run in a quick and an efficient manner?
I think a lot depends on the adjudicator who you appoint. If both parties are committed to getting a speedy resolution to a dispute, those time periods can be set quite tight time periods, and an adjudicator runs the process effectively should be able to make a decision within a relatively short period of time. Of course, relatively short is in the eye of the beholder. An arbitration from start to finish could take you a year. An adjudication, if managed properly, shouldn't take longer than about 3 months.
And then you mentioned as a precursor to enforceability, an aggrieved party with the outcome of an adjudication can deliver a notice of dissatisfaction. I just wonder if you could just expand on what exactly that is and maybe what that entails.
Sure. It's a decision that's handed down by the adjudicator is a final and binding decision. In other words, that if one party doesn't deliver a notice stating that it's dissatisfied with the outcome of that decision, then it's binding on both parties and they must comply with their obligations. For example, if a contractor has sued an employer and the contractor is awarded an amount of money, the employer would then be required to pay that amount of money because it's final and binding and it's enforceable until such time as an arbitration process has overturned that decision. So in that particular example, a contractor would succeed for X rand. The employer says, I'm dissatisfied with that outcome, would deliver a notice of dissatisfaction, and the matter would then proceed to arbitration. But in the interim, the employer is required to pay the amount due to the contractor.
Sure, in terms of that decision by the adjudicator.
Correct. Both parties are bound by it until such time as they deliver a notice of dissatisfaction, and an arbitrator sometime down the line either forces that decision or overturns that decision.
And just looking at enforceability of an adjudication award or decision by an adjudicator, how easily enforced are those decisions? I mean, with a court order, you know, you have that and then you can execute on that. Does a similar process apply to a decision by an adjudicator?
It does. So some people may not know is that an adjudication decision by itself is not enforceable to execute against the other party. So going back to the example of a contractor, a contractor receives an award of R1 million against the employer. The contractor can't enforce through, as if a court order, to go and make an attachment of the assets of that employer. So what they would need to do if the employer refuses to pay is then proceed to court to make that adjudication award an order of court. So you would then have to bring a formal application to court requesting the judge to then make it an order of court. Once you've made it an order of court, you could then execute against the employer through the auspices of the sheriff of the court.
All right. Unless there's anything else that you might want to discuss, Clive, on the enforcement aspect?
No, I think it sometimes can delay the matter on enforcement. That is your remedy, unfortunately. It's not something that's automatically enforceable or that you can execute on. There's quite a lot of case law that developed on the enforceability of the adjudicator's decisions in the interim. So initially, there was arguments that were raised to say that I don't have to pay until the matter's undecided by arbitration. The courts have clearly decided that an adjudicator's decision is enforceable and it doesn't have to wait for the outcome of an arbitration. And secondly, that you must pay in accordance with that adjudication decision. So the courts have also found that it is a robust decision. So the fact that the adjudicator doesn't get it 100% right doesn't mean you could take the decision on appeal. The basis is that it is to regard it as a short, robust process. And the main reason for that, Setu, is that during the course of contracts, you need matters to be resolved while the contract is ongoing. And it's very important that to keep the contract going, the decisions are made as you're going along, as opposed to waiting for an arbitration process to determine on each matter. So, yeah, I think on adjudication, you'll find provision for adjudication in terms of our JBCC contracts, in terms of the NEC forms of contract, and in respect of the FIDIC forms of contract, which are sort of the standard forms of contract that are used in the construction industry in South Africa.
Just another one. I think we find a lot in litigation clients concerned about the cost of litigating. Could you give us any insight as to what one could expect when it comes to costs in adjudication proceedings, and maybe as well how that's shared by the parties?
Yeah, it is an issue, but if you have a look, it depends on the nature of the contract and how you've structured the contract. So if it says that you'll go to adjudication before a single adjudicator and that adjudicator will make a final and binding decision, I can imagine that those costs are substantially less than if, for instance, in a FIDIC form of contract, you would have a dispute adjudication board, which may, in certain instances, consist of three individuals. So in preparing your contract initially, and our audience and those involved in these contracts must always keep in mind that it's very important that you deal with these issues up front. So if there's a single adjudicator, make sure that that's dealt with up front. It does limit the costs. Other people would argue that, unfortunately, you're then dependent on one individual's decision, as opposed to if you have an adjudication process that has three individuals, one appointed by each of the parties, and those two individuals appointing a chairperson, you may get a fairer decision. That being said, the costs of that process can be high. Again, part of it, picking that panel, don't always depend on getting senior counsel or retired judges to be your adjudicators. Sometimes, depending on the nature of the dispute, it's more appropriate not to have a sort of retired judge to run it, but in certain instances have somebody who's more in touch with the construction industry or somebody at a more junior level who has the right experience. The costs of sharing costs, in certain instances, the adjudicator does not award costs in favor of one of the parties. So even though you may be successful, it doesn't mean that you get your costs ordered in your favor. So that is something to take into consideration.
Right, well, Clive, I don't have anything else on mine unless there's anything else you can think about that you think is worth raising.
No, what we're trying to do is canvas these and try and highlight some issues to our audience of when you enter into the contracts, when issues are arising at that stage, dealing with the appropriate dispute resolution process, alternative dispute resolution process at that point, and then making sure that it's run properly and effectively at the time when a dispute does arise. And that's why, as Cedric mentioned in the beginning, we're doing over a period of time. We do adjudication this afternoon, but we intend having a look at mediation and an arbitration process and really a refresher to be aware of the pros and cons of each of those processes. But thanks, Cedric, and thanks for raising the issues for discussion.
Thanks for your time, Clive, and for your insight and experience on it.
Great. Thank you.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.